hey, we believe strongly in gospel-centered churches, and we are really looking forward to God planting churches in different areas. And so here is a message from our friends at Cultivate.
The gospel is the hope of the world, and the world needs more gospel-centered churches. That's why Cultivate by CGN exists. I'm Clay Worrell, Executive Director of CGN, and I'm here with my friend, Pastor Nick Cady.
We want to take a moment to let you know about the Cultivate Church Planter Training Program. Cultivate has created the infrastructure to support the planting of 1,000 new churches in the next decade, starting in 2023. We follow in the footsteps of renowned church planters in the Calvary Chapel movement, embracing and adopting their rich heritage of church planting in order to transmit our values, theology, and philosophy of ministry to this generation and for those to come.
You know, as church planters ourselves, we understand that planting a church is not an easy task, but we believe it's an essential one. That's why we've created a range of resources to help you and your team prepare for the journey ahead.
Our resources are personal, practical, and pastoral. Our program is from 6 to 24 months and is designed to equip you to lead a gospel-centered community wherever God has called you around the world. We also have a global team of mentors and coaches with thousands of hours of experience planting and pastoring churches, and they're ready to support you in the training phase, the launch phase, and in the post-launch phase of planting a church.
With our guidance and support, you can feel confident in your ability to engage the world for Christ. Are you ready to answer the call of church planting? Together we can make a difference and bring the hope of the gospel to communities around the world. If you're ready to take the next steps and learn more about our church planting program, we invite you to visit our website at cultivatechurchplanting.com.
You know, they might have differences with somebody in the body and they want us to fix it. You know, they want us to go to the person when they've never gone themselves. And so I think it's important that even in those circumstances that we're showing them, yes, how to handle conflict and what it looks like to truly love, that sincere love that Paul talked about in Romans, and to move and walk in that agape love, and the importance of forgiving and staying together. Because so many people, they might forgive, but they also cut them off. And I want to help my ladies to see you don't have to do that.
Hello, and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women serving in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to invite you to have a seat at the table with us as we consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically. Hey, Kelly and I are joined by Janice Arate today, and together we want to discuss developing spiritually healthy women. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
Janice is a senior pastor's wife, women's ministry director, and she has over 40 years of experience in ministry and a grandmother of?
Six.
Six?
Wow. Yep.
How many do you have, Kelly?
I got five.
Oh, I have 10, so wow. That's a brood.
Yes, we have a brood.
You need to do a play date. How many boys?
I have four boys and just had a little girl.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So ours is 5 and 4. No, we have 10, so it's 6 and 4.
6 and 4.
Girls win.
We have 3 and 3.
Oh, oh nice.
Good.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
A good
they
mix. Are.
They're so fun.
So today we kind of want to talk through developing spiritually healthy women, and what does that look like? How do we go about that? As leaders of a church, what does it mean in our decision-making process? When we're talking about like making spiritually healthy women, that's like a big task. And so what do we think about that? And I think of just being a disciple and what that means to be spiritually healthy. What kind of a disciple am I going to be? And that literally just means a student of Christ is what I came up with. And I just think about Matthew 28 when he tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And what does that actually mean to raise up spiritually healthy women? And when we're thinking of spiritual health, that kind of takes a little bit of it takes you a little bit deeper into that process mm-hmm. of discipleship mm-hmm. because now we're looking at people. Now mm-hmm. we're looking at women. And so yeah. What are your first thoughts on, you know, why we're having this discussion in the first place?
Well, actually, my first thought, and I feel like we always start there if we look at a topic, how did Jesus develop spiritually healthy people? What did he do to stay spiritually healthy? I mean, he's the epitome of spiritual healthness, right? And kind of just to get my head around that first, I thought first he valued his time with his father. That was crucial. He listened to his father. He prioritized that alone time with him. You know, the Gospel of Luke mentions often that he went alone to pray. And I've just been pondering this a lot this week, and it was like he retreated and reentered over and over again. He retreated from the distraction of the world, like in Mark 1:35, where he withdrew to carve out this time for a sacred space to listen, to feed his soul, to commune with his father, and then reentered into the busyness and hurting world. You know, he could have neglected that and spent more time ministering, like I think I'm often tempted to, I have to do this, I have to do this, rather than, you know, understand I need that alone time with the Lord. And so what an example there. And also what he did, he valued the word. Now, he's not walking around with the written word like we have the privilege of having, yet he always lived by that phrase, what was written, is all the time. He quoted scripture to the devil in the wilderness. He stood and read Isaiah from a scroll. He rebuked the proud by quoting scripture. I mean, many times it said of what is written or as it's written. So he lived by the word, and then he taught others to do it as well. So I just think those are some ageless habits of Christ that, you know, probably goes to the spiritual disciplines. We did a podcast on that, and so that was number one. But back to the basics of that has to come first. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Janice?
Well, when you first gave me the topic, I just immediately went to the physical diet and how important having that good, healthy diet is in our lives. And in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And you know, when I first started in ministry, I never really thought about what I was going to be doing with women. I just thought about what I'm going to do with my husband. And I was only 24 years old when I became a pastor's wife.
Me too.
But the Lord just gave me such a hunger the day I got saved for God's word. And I am so thankful for that in light of what you were sharing. And so it wasn't long or till later, or that long, when I realized I need to really make sure I'm spiritually healthy so that I can pour into these women that God brings to me. And, you know, if you have ever worked with a trainer, they teach you that what you eat will affect the outcome of your training. You need a good, healthy diet. And a trainer is pretty tough. Mm-hmm. He doesn't cut slack when you're out there. And so I know as a leader that I have to be lovingly tough on my women to pour into them the spiritual disciplines, as you guys talked about in another podcast, and reminding them, you know, that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and they need to take good care of it. And so that's where I immediately went to when I began looking at this. And so I guess I would say it's just showing these ladies the importance of the disciplined life.
Good.
And then, of course, and we'll get probably more into this as we talk, how you do that, as you go along.
That is so good, because sound doctrine is so crucial. And women, we talked about this when we all chatted the other day, theology is crucial. Theology is simply theos and logos, the study of God. And oftentimes women, I've heard them say it, maybe you guys have too, it's just like, well, I'll leave that for the men. That's the men thing, you know, and whether they're theologically lazy, apathetic, or whatever. But theology, we all need to have a right theology. And knowing his word helps us to know God, and we need to know him as best we can. I think one of the dangers of women, at least us growing up our age, was women focused on practical living, and all the books were, I think, kind of wimpy and on practical living, and divorced from doctrine. And that's dangerous because you're making bad decisions and everything else. And Wayne Grudem said, theology is meant to be lived and prayed and sung. And then John Piper said, wimpy theology makes wimpy women. And I think that's so true. There's nothing that women shouldn't be studying, feeding on, learning. And even Paul in Colossians chapter 1, when he was praying for them, he prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's word. And that was to men and women, right? Yeah. And so I think a great example of that is Priscilla and Aquila in Acts, right? When Apollos was teaching not full doctrine, it wasn't just Aquila that pulled him aside. It was Priscilla too. She knew her theology. She knew the error. She was involved in the training of Apollos. And I was like, way to go, Priscilla. Yeah. You know, she knew her theology. And I just, theology teaches us how to handle life and hardships. It teaches us how to give an answer to what we believe, as we know we're supposed to. In 1 Peter 3:15, teaches us what to obey. Yeah. We know we're supposed to obey. How do we know what we're supposed to obey unless we know our theology? Keeps us humble, reminds us of who God is. I don't know. We just need to know the truth, and that's where it begins. But a balance, even that, I just keep thinking, I'm sorry, I'm talking way too much, but to develop a spiritual person or woman, to me, the word that kept coming out was balance, too, balance of everything, even your doctrine. Some people, and I can be guilty of this too, I'm not a huge studier of the end times. I know Jesus is coming. He's coming. All right, I'm good. What am I going to do until he comes? And it's easy for me to ignore or to learn and to study the theology of that so I have a better understanding of it. Or some ladies just like to stay in Psalms and Proverbs, or they read their word, little devotion for the day, which usually takes it out of context, right? And so it's a balance of everything.
Sorry. I love that we're starting off with talking about theology, talking about studying the word, because I think the number one place for me to start is making sure that every woman in our church understands the basic tenets of the Christian faith. Because in that, even if people have been coming to church for years and years and years, you'll ask them about, you know, do you know about the virgin birth? Do you know, do you understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just some these basic things that maybe they've never even learned. And so if we don't know theology too, we can't make good decisions, because you can't make good decisions unless you know what the Bible says,
right?
And that informs our decisions. And so I think that's a great place to start. I think God's word is so important in forming our Christianity. And so if we don't get anything else, we have to get that right. So as leaders, I'll take it one step further. So not only do we need to have good theology, but then we need to be teaching good theology. So that means that as leaders, we're vetting our teachers, whoever's teaching within our midst. How many times have you not known somebody who's teaching, and then someone comes to you and like, did you know they were teaching this? And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, in a small group or something, and then you have to go and fix that. So we need to make sure that we're vetting our anybody who's going to be teaching from the front, anybody who's going to be teaching in a small group, like they have to know the scriptures, they have to know them well, and they have to be able to give sound doctrine and that's in line with our church. I've had a few times where I've had ladies teach something and it's like, hey, we don't teach that here. And that's fine if you want to teach that, but you can't teach that here. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can teach it somewhere else, but you're not teaching that here. And so I think those are some really important things. And I was reading something that talked about Jesus modeling, you know, seven kind of practices. And I think, again, we've talked about these spiritual disciplines, but someone that's praying, studying, worshiping, inviting, encouraging, serving, giving, those are the sort of marks of the disciples. So when we're talking about spiritually healthy women, that goes a step further because it goes beyond knowledge. So you can be a student. And one of the things I think of is that I think of two keys when I'm doing discipleship. One is didactic, right? Like you're talking about instruction, you're talking about classroom, you're talking about this is where we instruct you. But then there's a whole other part of being spiritually healthy, which is implementing.
Right. Action.
It's implementation. It's, you know, what do I'm accomplishing? What am I executing? I learn something, then I have to execute it. And so that also is a part, and I think that's where those practical things came in, the practical books, the, you know, do it this way, or the, we had this really, maybe not unhealthy, but we had a real focus on like Titus 2 ministry, Proverbs 31 ministry, you're a wife,
very
you're
limiting.
A homemaker, you're a, and then that was the only thing we ever studied or the only thing we ever talked about, or, you know, we had workshops on, you know, how to do these things at home. And those are all good because I learned everything about being a mom and a wife from church. But I just think that those things are really important, not only learning, teaching our women, but then also seeing that they're implementing it.
Yeah. I mean, the other disciplines as far as praying, fasting, the ones that you said, I think, again, I guess I keep going to word balance, even in your application or action that you were talking about, you know, you read the word of God, and if, let's just say, we all know that serving is biblical, we're all supposed to be serving. You can read and read and read and get all puffed up, and you're just this, you know, fat Christian. If there's no service, you're not in balance. Or you can serve, and I probably have fell in this category during times of my life, you serve, but you aren't reading the word, but you're serving. And so then you're out of balance too, because you're probably serving with the wrong attitude, wrong heart motive, wrong, you know, everything. And so it just goes back to that, keeping it in balance. Am I praying? Am I studying? Am I in fellowship? It's kind of back to the basics, making sure you're healthy in that. And I was thinking of that. In fact, Brian said, you know, the Sea of Galilee analogy, and I was like, no. And it was interesting to me because we just got back from Israel, but he's like, you have to have input and output. He goes, you know, in the Sea of Galilee, the input is the River Jordan.
You're talking about the salt. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the River Jordan is the one that feeds the Sea of Galilee, and then the Sea of Galilee, the outlet, it goes into the Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. Well, the Sea of Galilee is alive because it has an input and it has an output. The Dead Sea is dead. Yeah. It has input, but no output. Yeah. And that's what can happen to us as believers when we're not serving, we're out of balance. So you need both. What's going in is supposed to be coming out. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we've been going through the book of Romans this year with our ladies. Mm-hmm. And so we just did chapter 12 last night. And so the first, you know, 11 chapters now, we've been studying doctrine. Mm-hmm. And so now when Paul goes on, and I love this verse, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Mm-hmm. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I was so excited as I just looked at that, because in light of understanding basic doctrine and knowing, gosh, look what Jesus did for us. What more can I do than to offer my bodies? And we're talking about being spiritually healthy, but we know the body encompasses everything about us. Yeah. And we're saying, here I am, Lord. What more can I give you? I want to live for you. I don't want to be like this world. I want to be transformed. And we know it's an ongoing process. So we're coming alongside all these women to help them to keep on changing. And then it immediately goes into serving. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you were just saying. Yeah. And so you have all these different things, as you said earlier. You have the word, you have prayer, you have serving. But if the ladies don't give back out what they're taking in, they're not going to grow.
Right.
And that's our responsibility to help them to see and to understand. And I love, years ago, I sat with some young kids, and they just didn't know how to hear God speak. And I got so excited that I got to show them by different things I had marked in my Bible, times when I needed answers from God, and how he spoke out of having just a regular devotion time with him. And anyways, they went away just so excited because That's awesome. They didn't realize how personal God wanted to be with them. And so in that verse in Romans, you know, to help these ladies to understand what God's will is, I think is vital for their spiritual health.
That's great.
It's interesting because I was looking at Romans 12 actually last night for another thing. And I love verse 1 that you just kind of, you know, shared. And so, dear brothers and sisters, this is in the NLT. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And I think in another translation, it says, I beseech you. Mm-hmm. And I think if I remember that word correctly, clearly, it's to that he calls us to come alongside him. Mm-hmm. And I loved that word, and I thought about if that's right. So be Bereans and look it up.
I thought it was sure. I beg you. Sure.
Yeah, but it's like I'm calling you alongside and to be a living sacrifice is that we're alive, but we render ourselves dead unto him. Like I'm gonna give myself up for you and for the service of you. And so as we're thinking through that, you know, now we're talking about, okay, what does it mean to be spiritually healthy? But then as leaders, now let's kind of switch gears to, okay, so then what do we do as leaders to promote, to provide, to facilitate this spiritual health? Because then that comes with leadership decisions that we have to make. Yeah. And so for me, just starting off, I think of discipleship, I think of spiritual health in women. You know, I do two things. We'll do bigger group discipleship or Bible studies and stuff, and then we make way for individual discipleship where somebody might be beginning and they come in and they've got so much trauma or something going on that they really need help there before they can even like think about discipleship. So maybe there might be women that come in that just need counseling. Yeah. Or they need some one-on-one attention just to kind of get them over sort of that season in their life. We make sure we do Bible studies. We filter everything that we do through the lens of, okay, it has to have some spiritual oomph. I don't know of any other word.
Purpose.
It has to have some spiritual purpose. We don't just do things to do things. So if someone comes to me, oh, I have this great idea, I want to do this, and there's nothing like spiritual to it, we normally won't do it because we want to concentrate and do really well the things that we know that are going to promote spiritual health. So what about you guys? What are some of the things that you kind of filter through when you're making decisions about what are we going to do? What aren't we going to do? Because even it's kind of easy to say what we're going to do. We're going to do Bible study. We're going to have one-on-one discipleship. We're going to have, you know, maybe classes for moms or prodigals or young moms or widows or, you know, just season of life things. But then what do you say no to? I guess that's what I'm curious. What do you say no to?
Well, anything, I guess, that would be compromising that or obviously against the word, right? I mean, that's a give. Or frivolous. I guess it depends. I'm trying to think if I've had to say no of anyone asking me and be like, no. I don't know. What do you got?
I just think it's back what you said, Brenda. I think that there's got to be some purpose. I mean, you can have evenings to gather together to fellowship. The painting's real big right now and that kind of thing. And there's a time and place for that. But when it comes to planning those things that are going to build up and accomplish the desire to make them spiritually healthy, I'm trying to think of a time I had to say no.
It was probably, we've done the painting thing, but we always have a devotion, a study, something else. The paintings revolved around what we're going to talk about. I mean, because they can, nothing wrong with painting, who's listening, but you can go to a paint store and do the painting. So if we're hosting it, how can we be an encouragement or an exhortation or a challenge or some sort? Yeah,
exactly.
And that's good to know that, yes, fellowship is good, but don't miss the opportunity. Just even a little nugget of discipleship, or you don't know if someone's bringing a friend. Those are great opportunities to present the gospel.
Exactly.
Just because you don't know, someone might be bringing a friend in. And so you have these varieties of things that you do but they're all intentional. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Exactly.
They're all intentional to like, this is what we do. This is what we have for women at our church. Mm-hmm. You know, things that we might say no to might be a group. Oh, I can give you an example. So someone might come up and said, I really would like to do a group for this purpose. well, this might be a person that's not attending the things we already have going, and they see a need, mm-hmm. but we're already fulfilling yeah. that need. They're just not attending.
Right. Oh, and I have so, had that. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Now you'll think of a bunch. But there might be some of those where it's like, well, you should try attending what we are doing. Right. And then see if there's a hole somewhere. I'm always open to hey, you're missing a group of people.
Or they're complaining about it and they have never been involved in anything that you've done.
Right. So you don't know what you're missing. You know, we have Bible studies. We have one-on-one groups. We have classes. We have moms groups. We have missions trips. We have outreaches. Like, we have all these things. Mm-hmm. So, and then how do we incorporate that into these, you know, making a spiritually, and I have in my notes what you were talking about, a spiritual diet.
Yeah.
You know, what are we putting in our mouths and what are we accomplishing
for these women? I thought of that too, the diet thing. Especially because you had said that the intake is so important, because the intake affects the output, whether it's what we're eating, the word of God, whether it's what we're putting into our mind, how careful we need to be, because we know when we put, as far as even social media, entertainment, things that we shouldn't be watching, we know what that does to our heart. So that ruins our healthiness spiritually. Mm-hmm. So the intake is so important, and you could actually fake it for a while. I thought about, because I run and I exercise, people always say, oh, you're so healthy. If you saw what goes into my body, as far as my favorite food is sugar, some days that's all I eat. Like, it's horrible. But the assumption is I'm healthy because I run. And it's so not true. And I think we can do that as far as within the church and the body of Christ. We can look spiritual. We know what to say. We know what to do. But if the intake is not healthy, it's fake.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? So I just kept thinking, yes, the
intake. It's like sugar burns off real fast.
Yeah, and we can fake it, you know, but what we put in is vital to our healthiness.
Something that came to my mind, it's a little kind of off, but not, you know, with the things that aren't healthy or whatever, but I just started thinking when we were doing lots of retreats from way back, and there used to be, you know, a lot of opportunities to have bake sales or whatever. People did garage sales, trying to raise money to go. And it was a lot of times for people that just couldn't afford it. And so through the years, I started seeing a pattern of those same people always there for those scholarships. And after a while, I started realizing, you know what, they're just kind of taking advantage of the situation, and I'm responsible to correct that so that they can see that. And so then we started saying, well, you're going to have to put X amount of money down so that you have some sort of ownership, you know,
investment in it, right?
Yes, because that sounds, you know, really off in the spiritual sense, but it's not, you know, so that kind of came to my mind that we want to teach the women well, you know, and
even that's healthy so giving. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
healthy practices that go out, whether it's tithing or healthy giving or generosity. There's just a balance that we all should strive to be. And we don't get to pick and choose which commands or verses we like and that we want to do. And we pick the ones that we don't. It's that's what well-rounded, that's what spiritual health is. Mm-hmm. It all works together. Everything works as it's supposed to.
Exactly.
And I think what you guys are talking about is going into training women how to think about these things. Yeah. How do we think about scripture? Mm-hmm. You're talking about, we did that with scholarships. What we saw was the people we gave 100% scholarships are the ones that canceled last minute or didn't show.
Or they spent all their money in the gift shop while they're up there.
Exactly. Yeah,
I've had that one. You're like, wait, what?
We've all had that one. Ted had one year they went to Catalina. This is years and years and years ago. And the guys that they did water skiing there. Yeah. And the guys that got full rides were all the ones out paying to water ski. So that was his drop dead, like never again. So we do require an investment as well, even for our scholarships. But it's just, I think it's making women to understand what's important for their health. Like basically training them and I'm going to train you in what you need, not what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that that's so important that we have to train people in, well, what do you need? Because it's not, it doesn't necessarily line up with what you want.
Yeah.
Because people say, well, we want to do this. We want to do this. We want to do this. And it's like, yeah, but that's not what you need.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, let's show.
That's like what the trainer says.
Yeah.
And how the
Kelly, don't need sugar.
Yeah. Okay. And just
but you really
how,
do.
How the Bible is written for their whole life, mm-hmm. not just certain aspect, how it applies to our whole life, how it governs how we think, our worldview, our attitudes, our everything. And I think that was my, as I stepped into a role of women's ministry too, I saw a gap between women. They understood the word. They liked reading the word. But there was this big gap of, so how does that apply to me?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. my goal in the beginning was that I feel like God wants to use me to show them how this applies to their everyday life. And not just in the practicals, but in, mm-hmm. in every sense, in what we do, think, buy, you know, everything. And right. so I see a shift in women in a better way mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. category, I feel like. I think... Yeah. You know, I don't know about you guys and your women's ministry, but it feels like women are wanting to understand the word mm-hmm. better. Mm-hmm. So they're growing in that.
We know another thing that I think is important that would help teach our ladies is often, you know, they might have differences with somebody in the body and they want us to fix it. You know, they want mm-hmm. us to go to the person when they've never gone themselves. And so I think it's important that even in those circumstances that we're showing them, yes, how to handle conflict and what it looks like to truly love, that sincere love that Paul talked about in Romans, and to move and walk in that agape love and the importance of forgiving mm-hmm. and staying together, because so many people, they might forgive, but they also cut them off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I want to help my ladies to see you don't have to do that.
Right.
You know, that, that isn't, and that really isn't the correct way to do it. To be peacemakers. And sometimes, yeah, you have to go separate ways. But I think the majority of the time, I think that there can be a fixing there. And so I want to make sure that I'm training my ladies to do that. And first by example, they've got to see me being able to do that.
Well, especially in the world we're living in right now, it's so weird and odd and hard and evil. And if they're not spiritual, if we're not spiritual healthy, if we're not teaching them, they're going to be tossed to and fro by every doctrine, by every like weird thing that comes up. And it's bad. And so there's such a need to be healthy mm-hmm. in our view on the world and what God's doing and what we're supposed to do, or else they just, you know, we can just go crazy as we all have seen.
That's right.
And if we can't get through the tension, because I think that's the beautiful thing about the family of God, is that in the tension, you grow.
Yeah.
You learn to grow. And so if you have the church members seeing that tension and seeing it healthy, you know, dealt with healthily, then they can do it too. But when you're seeing cancel culture in the church, you're seeing people, you know, bag on each other or mistreat each other, then you get into this horrible thing, which I don't think people realize what they're doing. I don't think that they realize that this has a ripple effect. Yeah. And that this damages the body of Christ in a huge way. Instead of being examples of healthy, spiritually healthy disciples, we're showing people the ways of the world. Exactly what Romans said to stay away from. Mm-hmm. We're showing them the opposite of that. And so I think we have to be we have to step out in faith and show people like, no, this tension is good, but we have to deal with it. And training our ladies like, hey, stick with it. Yeah. You know, when your family's going through crisis, you don't just leave. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same in the church. Like, you should stay during the rough season, stay in your community, unless the doctrine's off at your church or something's going on. But you don't leave for petty reasons, because then we get into a consumer mentality. And we can also teach our women that. No, we're not to be consumers. We're to be contributors.
That's
so
right.
We want to help them like, hey, you're here in this body not to get, but to give, you know, that you should be contributing and that you should be discovering and using your spiritual gifts that we should be teaching them? Because there's so much to disciple in. It could be a mom, a wife. We disciple leaders. You think of Paul discipling Timothy and how he came alongside him. And mm-hmm. and that was his son in the faith. And he taught him the things that he knew. I mean, Paul is a disciple maker, you know, through and through. Great example. But just that way of like, yeah, we show it, we teach it, and we show it. But switching gears just a little bit, what do you guys think about like Proverbs 31 and Titus 2 fitting into women's ministry? And what's the balance? Because if I were listening to this, I'd be like, okay, what's the balance there? Because I feel like at some points we've been unbalanced, and then at other points maybe we've ignored some good stuff that we need to teach our women. So mm-hmm. how do you guys balance that in your ministries?
Well, I certainly don't discard those verses. I think they're, I love the Proverbs 31 woman. Mm-hmm. I remember the day I was shocked to find out she wasn't an actual person, that she was an ideal. I'm like, what? I love
population
her.
Population of women.
Yeah, I love her because I feel like the traits that are talked about in there, you know, she was a great mom. She was a great wife. She worked outside of the home. She was strong. She was competent. She spoke up with dignity. Like, I think her example is amazing. So I don't discard her. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Or
no,
don't
just like practically
focus on
how
her?
how you bring those, you know, the wife things, the homemaker mm-hmm. things into your women's ministry. I mean, you know, I think Proverbs 31 should be taught to men.
Yeah.
Because it's actually a woman telling her son what kind of a woman he should be looking for. I'm like, why are we teaching this to the women? I get it. We want to become that woman, but it also should be taught to men too.
Well, we have to take the things the men teaches in the scripture, so they should take heed
That's
to that
right.
too. I'm
exactly.
just saying.
Exactly.
No, it's.
I'm starting a Proverbs 31 man's ministry.
Yeah. I think early on, again, that's, I felt like that was just the focus for marriage and, mm-hmm. and discipleship. Or, I mean, parenting kind of, but I think it did such a disservice to women and hurt single women
it did.
That felt like they were less than, or they weren't enough mm-hmm. if they weren't.
Or the working woman who felt like, oh, now I have to stay home because I'm not a true woman unless I don't work out. If I work outside the home, I ran into a lot of that.
So that's hard. So I think, again, when we just focus on that particular thing, there's a whole rest of the scriptures mm-hmm. that we should be looking at as well, too. So
I agree, you know, and I think, too, in my beginning years, because of probably just my position as a wife and a mother, I would often forget about the single people.
Yeah.
And so today, like, even we're doing something right before Mother's Day, but instead we chose to make it into just a celebration of for women. Mm-hmm. So for grandmas, moms, daughters, sisters, aunts, friends, just that celebration of women who have an influence on your life. Mm-hmm. And so that we're not leaving anybody out.
Yeah.
But we did your book, Far Above Rubies, several years ago. I think it was right after it came out. And I was so bummed because I did have a few.
You're so bummed that you read my book.
I know, right? Sorry. So sorry. No, it was outstanding. What I was bummed at was that I had some women more on the older side that would not be a part of it. And because they didn't feel like it applied, or if they were single. And even as much as we tried to say, you have something to offer.
Yeah.
To teach within your group. I mean, when we get into small discussions, there's so much more that comes out. And so I feel like they really missed out on that. But like you said, I think that you definitely, I mean, the Proverbs 31 can apply to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you can take those attributes that are in there of this woman and apply it to whether you're single or, you know, or married.
Yeah, they're just character traits.
Yes.
Really, you go through them And I remember when I was writing it, thinking through, like, okay, how would I ask this question if you were single? And I think in some of them, even if it was like for marrieds, it was like, okay, if you're single, think of it this way.
You did. Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that, like, gosh, this would alienate some people. But there's so many good character traits in there.
But it's still needed. So you have to still keep teaching the Titus 2, and it's our responsibility to do that. But I think women today need to know that if even if you are single, you can be a spiritual mom.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can be that spiritual mentor. And we need so many more of them.
Because you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. We still need that. Yeah. Mm-mm. I remember early on as a Christian feeling like a failure as a mom
and a
wife because I hate crafts. I hate cooking. I hate anything domestic. And I'd be like, I'm a failure. I mean, you just... Within the church, the body, I think because that was all that was taught, you just feel like I'm not enough. I don't measure up. And I mean, it was a huge turning point in my own spiritual walk when I realized I don't have to like to cook. I don't have to. I mean, I have to be a mom and a parent, but these domestic things aren't my gifts. I have other gifts. And it was like revolution.
I'm sorry, I can't cook. Yeah. That's not my gift.
I cooked. You know what I mean? It revolutionized my own spiritual walk and wanted me to help empower other women that, again, don't neglect your family. That's not what I'm saying.
No, you're not.
But if that's not your passion, it's okay. What is your passion? Exactly. And so, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not all good at it. I remember when the Lord, and I can say, made me write the book on Proverbs 31 because I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And I said no several times. and then had to, but I felt the same way you did. It was like, how am I going to write this book on this subject when I'm horrible at it? Somebody else should be teaching me, and then having to write a book on this subject and thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't do this for my daughters. I didn't teach them this. I didn't teach them that. And then you start picking yourself apart. Yeah. Like, I'm such a loser.
Yeah.
Like, don't buy my book. Yeah. I can't do it. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
The enemy.
I was forced.
Yeah.
I was forced. He made me write it. Anyhow, as we're wrapping up, this is, I mean, gosh, we could talk about spiritually healthy women all day long. It's been a great discussion. Yeah. Any books that you guys have thought through? I can name a few and you probably, oh yeah, that one. I remember that one.
Yeah, you go.
Okay. The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yes.
Experiencing God by Blackaby. Did you guys, that was great. Oldie, right?
Yeah.
That's been around for years. 30 Days in Understanding the Bible by Max Anders.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Discipleship Essentials by Greg Ogden. I think we used that here for our women for just like, this is the basic thing. This is the Christian tenets that you go through. And if we do one-on-one, we go through that first. Before you go into marriage, before you go into, you know, whatever you do, we go through the basics first. And then the self-confrontation manual.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That one was probably my favorite because they trick you into thinking, okay, you're going to be a counselor. You have to go through this book. And then you spend the next, like, 6 months like, just going, oh.
Yeah.
What book is that?
It's called the Self-Confrontation Manual.
Yeah.
And it deals with every single topic in your life that
it's
you
good.
Could go through.
Yeah.
And that's by John Broger. It's BCF.
Yeah.
Biblical Counseling.
Yeah. What? They have changed their name.
What's BCF?
That's not what they're called. Biblical. It's the counseling center in Escondido. I just looked up the name the other day for someone. It's changed.
BCF. But it's John Broger and it's Self-Confrontation Manual.
Yeah.
So those are really, really good.
That's good. It's all about healthy choices. Healthy choices. And, you know, you think that food that's called healthy choice, that's what it is. That's what makes us spiritually healthy women by making healthy choices to believe in Him, cry out to Him, follow Him, obey Him, serve Him, thank Him, live for Him. Those are all choices.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. What are you going to put in your mouth?
Yeah.
You got to be wise. And that's what you said. Don't be quoting people or writing, you know, offering any books up that you haven't vetted first. Well, thanks for joining us today. We hope you find this content helpful. Hey, stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook for all that is going on with When She Leads. Hey, save the date, October 20th and 21st of 2023, as we have scheduled our big annual live event. We're going to be gathering, then details will be coming out. And so I just want you to be able to pop that date on your calendar for now and plan on bringing your ministry teams for out for a weekend of refreshing, training, and connecting with one another. This year, our guest speaker will be Ruth Jo Simons. If you have not met Ruth yet, she's fantastic. Look her up on Instagram. She reminds me of like the Magnolia, Joanna Gaines. Yeah, she's an artist. She writes Bible studies. She's been a pastor's wife. We've had her out. She's fantastic. So join us for that. We'll see you next time.